and asking them to move, they finally moved away from his car. As Mike started to drive away, a 16-year-old Muslim jumped or was pushed in front of Mike's car and was killed. The Muslims arrested Mike, took his passport, and are placing him on trial for murder. If convicted, he will be hanged immediately. His wife, Lynn, and his children, 12, 10, and 9 years of age, are staying with another missionary family. Please pray for God's intervention. And so, just wanted to make you aware of that. Again, the man's name is Mike Hutchinson. Did not give his wife or family name, and they are missionaries in West Africa. Then I have another one. Just to share this with you, this was sent to me by Taper in Florida. God's love, Valentine's Prayer Day expresses God's love for President Clinton. Christians paused to give President Clinton an early Valentine's Day gift yesterday, their prayers. Churches and individuals in more than a dozen states and Canada took part in the first annual National Day of Fasting and Prayer for the President. Listen to this. Organized by Grapevine, Texas, based for Thy Kingdom's Sake Ministry. I know nothing about it. It's interesting as an expression of love from God and from God's people toward the President. Excuse me, it's intended. It's intended as an expression of God's love and from God's people toward the President, the coordinator of the base of Thy Kingdom's Sake Ministry said. The idea came before the Monica Lewinsky scandal broke last year and grew through the impeachment hearings, the leader said. He did make some unwise choices and did get into sin, but where were we as Christians with our prayers and our sustained ongoing warfare on his behalf? We are called to pray for our leaders, whether we voted for them or not. Last year's national tragedy could be linked to his being excluded from our prayers, the leader said. Among those who took part in the prayer day were churches, individuals, and members of intercession networks on the Internet. So I just wanted to share that with you. Okay. We could turn it off while we just sit. That God made, and it's called a covenant in the Bible, so it's that purpose. Okay, we're in the midst of studying, coming to the last section of our study of spiritual love before we move to the First Corinthians part of our study, the impact of spiritual love, and we're dealing with that love is known in a person, and then we noted under point A, we took that up just as a point, love is known in a person, not an abstract concept, and then B, love is known and is knowable in God, for God is love. Then C, love is known in the person of Jesus Christ. And now we have moved to D tonight. We begin, love of God and the love of Jesus Christ. God and the love of Jesus Christ. Now we have seen that love is knowable in God and in Jesus Christ. Now, let's see how they fit together. And sometimes we have to go over the same passage at times, looking at it differently. Let's look at Ephesians 5:1 for a moment. Ephesians 5:1. Let's begin there for our study on the God and the love of Jesus Christ. So Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God. So, be imitators of God. So, there's the person we're imitating as beloved children. And walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Now, just don't get down yet, because we're going to go over this, you know, kind of carefully, but let's just look at the overall thing. We are to be imitators of God. So let's just kind of see what the passage is telling us. The imitators of God. So this is what we want to do, is imitate God. Then he says, as beloved children, that's the way we want to do it. As a child would maybe imitate its parents, so we're going to imitate God. Now, in being an imitator of God, we walk in love. Now remember, love, God is love. So if you're walking in love, you are imitating God, for God is love. Okay? Now, he says, walk in love, and then we have just as. There's that just as again that the theme is becoming very important in Scripture. And whenever you see it, you've got to stop and pause and think about it. Just as. So we're going to be imitators of God, walking in love because God is love. Now we're going to do this just as somebody else did, just as Jesus Christ did. Just as Jesus Christ also, and that word also, let me show you how these go together if you just kind of diagramming, looking through a sentence. Just as Jesus Christ also. You're to do it, he did it. So, what I'm showing you here is that the way and everything that Jesus Christ did, we can do. We have the same power of God. Now let's go back and just, this kind of gives you an overall flow of what we're doing. The imitators of God, that's our objective. Just as, walk in love, just as Jesus walked in love. If you walk in love, you will be imitators of God, if you will do that. Now, I do want to be honest with the context here, before we get a little further, and where this flows from. So often we forget chapter breaks and verses are not divinely inspired. Now, that doesn't mean that maybe the men weren't inspired in some cases, but I told you the long story of how a lot of that was done. It boggled your mind. The Masoretes, a lot of times, the joke goes that they were riding on their mules, and if a mule went up and down, that's where they stopped the verse and went on, and it looks like sometimes that's exactly what did happen, especially for chapter breaks. So really, we shouldn't have a chapter break here. With that word therefore, it's too closely linked for a chapter break, a paragraph break. Look at what's happening before. Verse 30 of chapter 4. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. So we have quenching the Holy Spirit and grieving the Holy Spirit. How do we grieve? How do we quench? We grieve the Holy Spirit by blatant sin. We quench the Holy Spirit when we refuse his leading. For an example, you're in the Spirit and he leads you to witness. He leads you to pray. He leads you to talk to somebody. And for whatever reason, you go, no. The thought comes in your mind to call, witness, give, whatever it is, and you go, no. For whatever your reasoning is, I'm too busy, I'm this, that, and you banish it, and you do it almost subconsciously. Well, you just quenched it. If you think of it this way, a husband comes home from work, and he is tired. Things have gone wrong at the office or at work. A lot of things going on in his mind. He walks into the house. The wife puts forth her hand in an amorous way. In other words, a romantic way. And he, no, don't bother me, I'm busy. Well, what does she do? You quench her, and if you watch her, she jerks her hand back. That's quenching. You just, boom, pull the hand back. You cut her off. And that guy will sleep on the couch that night. Okay, so yeah, that's how you quench. You just, no, I'm not going to do that. Boom. Now, grieving is where you and I just make a blatant decision to sin. That grieving. Okay, that gives you a little feel. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed or the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice, anything toward another believer. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God. Forgive one another. When you and I are kind, tender-hearted, forgiving of one another in the area of sin and failure, we're imitating God. And where does that come from? Continue the flow. Comes from His love. Walking in this love. Okay, now let's take it from there. So do you see how the passage is going? Not just verse 1, but the entire context. Therefore, be imitators of God. You cannot take that and isolate that from being kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God. In fact, you can't even take it away from verse 31. Bitterness, wrath, all those things pass from you. And then what? That's the negative taken away, the positive that takes its place is verse 32. Now, to do that, be imitators of God. Most people think they're imitating God when they do law. That's when most Christians think they're imitating God, when they do law against one another. But Scripture makes it clear for the eye that will see, that's not when you're imitating God. You're imitating God when you do love. Now, let's go to verse 1. Let's just kind of get the flow now. Verse 30 of the previous chapter, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were, little parentheses to orient you, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. You are in Him, and you're going to be with Him forever. Even from that basis, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you. Let it be put away by the power of the Spirit. If you don't grieve Him, it'll all be put away. Okay? Along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Imperative. Become something. Become something that you were not before you were saved, and that you were not before you walked in the power of the Spirit. Now, we have an example of how and what this means in verse 2. We have an example of what this is going to be like. Okay, therefore, be. This is an imperative. It's a command, present, middle imperative, to become something that you were not in your first birth, and even in your second birth when you're not walking in the Spirit. And you're not this yet. We want to become this as Christians. This is part, people, of the transforming process into the image of Christ. That's why you have imitator, being transformed into God, imitator of God. What is Jesus Christ? 2 Corinthians chapter 4 from our study on New Year's Eve. We are to be transformed into the image of Christ. In chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians says, as He is the image of God. So we are in His image, He is in the image of God, therefore, basic geometry, we can be in the image of God. Jesus Christ, in the image of God, we are being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ, therefore, we are in the image of God. And how do we do this? When we love as He loves. In the power of the Spirit. If you're grieving, you don't have His power. If you're walking in Him, you have His power. So we're not there yet. This is a process. Becoming an imitator of God is a process that occurs over a period of time in a believer's life. We want to become this. And as we're going to see in our study of spiritual law, what is the basic foundation of becoming an imitator of God is going to be to love as He loves. This is what He's going to say in this verse. So this is how we're going to become an imitator of God and of God's love and of the love of Jesus Christ. And as impossible as this may sound, to be an imitator of God, there are a lot of Christians who will read that, I can imitate God. I know what God is like. I'm going to do the law. I'm going to be real good, real moral, learn doctrine, serve, emote, all these types of things. I can be like God. People, we can't be like God. This is one of the most basic things you've got to do. You read something like this and you just laugh. This is impossible. Be an imitator of God. Yeah, right. No. We cannot be imitators of God in the power of the flesh. This is not something we're going to work at, something we're going to strive at over our lives and in the flesh. We're going to figure out what that... First thing you'd have to do is you'd have to figure out what this means to be an imitator of God. That's the first thing you're going to have to do, is figure it out. Then after you've done that to your satisfaction, now what you're going to have to do is, I can do it. Well, anybody with a rational human mind knows it's over. I don't know what this is, nor do I know how to do it. Nor sometimes do I want to do it, because if it involves forgiving, there are times I don't want to do that. Don't even want to. So we come head to head, boom, with this in reality. I can't be like God. I can't love like God. So therefore we know we're going to have to do this in the power of the Holy Spirit. What is it? Be imitators of God. Predicate nominative plus, in the plural plus, plus the Greek word here, imitate. It means mimic. It's arrogance to say, I can do it. It's arrogance to, a lot of people want to do this, they want to be their own person. True humility says, I can't. He is going to have to do this for me and in me. By the way, the definite article, imitators of the God, reference to God the Father. So we're going back to that relationship with the Father again. And the one whom we can have a personal relationship and rapport with. Okay, become imitators of God. How are we going to do that? Even the desire to do this is impossible in the flesh. To have a true desire to imitate God, because the flesh doesn't want to. The flesh wants to be itself. Christians today, because we live in a time when so many desire to be unique, be independent, their own person, have all of this kind of stuff. We have such a sloppy realm of Christianity today. I'm with God. I don't have to go to church. I don't have to be with anybody. I'm up here in the mountains, and it's just, the mountain is my temple and my church and all these type of stuff where people deceive themselves that they're real close to God. They don't need the church. They don't need the Spirit. They don't need people. They don't need anything. They just have this thing. So we live in a lot of deception. A lot of deception. Now, if you're going to serve Christ, if you're going to love as He loved, we're going to live the Christ-centered life, Christ-like life. We're going to have to, first of all, to do this, people, imitators of God, first thing you're going to have to do is totally deny self. You've got to put self aside if you're going to do this. If I were a principal or a school superintendent, I would require, at the minimum, if I could do it, I would require 2 years. But at the minimum, I would require 1 year of drama. And the reason I would require 1 year of drama for every student in school, some level, 10th grade, 11th grade, 12th grade, is because in drama you learn how to be someone else. In drama you have to lay aside who and what you are and take on someone else. The better actor you are, actress you are, the better your ability to become that person. A lot of times you hear an actor just the opposite of what he is. I love Cary Grant's famous statement. People said, "Boy, I wish I could be like Cary Grant." And he said, "I wish I could be like Cary Grant," because everybody had this image of him by all of his movies, and he said, "I wish I could be like that." And it's the better actor can do those kinds of things. So to imitate someone, you have to forget yourself. You have to think about the way they think, the way they act, the way they laugh, the way they function, whatever it is that you're imitating about them. You can no longer think of self. You can no longer think of self. When you're thinking of self, you cannot become an imitator. You want to be an original. I want to be original. I want to do this. I want to do that. But when you have to imitate, this is why you got two different kinds of movies. You got one kind of movie where a person is a person that is created by the writer. Then you've got biographies where like George C. Scott had to play George Patton. Okay, it doesn't matter what George C. Scott's military views are, because he was totally opposite of, not totally, but opposite of what Patton was in real life. But you have to forget everything that you are. When you're playing a real person, this is especially true in playing a real person. In playing a fictitious person, you can make that person part of what you are and do a lot of that. John Wayne was good at that. But when you have to portray, this is especially true when you portray somebody else, you have to learn about that person and become that person, the way that person would think. And that's when you become an imitator. So people, if we're going to be imitators of God, what we have to do is what John said in John chapter 3, I must decrease and he must increase. Now, I must decrease, greatest humility. How does this happen? Remember how this happens? What is the one word that characterizes a person that's decreasing in their own importance, in their own self? Okay, that's humility. And what is the walk of humility? Walking by faith. See, that I must decrease is where you and I walk by faith, because I'm now totally dependent on God the Holy Spirit. Now, he must increase, and what characterizes that in your life? Love. When spiritual love starts to be seen, that's the love of Christ, that's God, that's when God becoming, you're imitating God and it starts becoming seen in your life, God is seen in your life. So I decrease, walk by faith, he increases, walk by love. If you're going to imitate God, you must decrease. And to the level that you and I decrease in importance, parentheses, the level that you and I walk by faith in all areas of our life, that's to the level that love is shown in your life. And in that level where love is shown, you become an imitator of God. And this is particularly seen, as all love is, in your relationship with one another, because love is a force between two objects. This is why the one another in a relationship of believers is so important in the plan of God. So first, to become an imitator of someone, the first thing you and I have to do is make a decision about ourselves. That's the first thing we have to decide. We have to make a decision about ourselves. The decrease of self. Then we have to make a decision about Jesus Christ. In this case, God, the imitators of God. Then we have to make a decision about him. Find your identity, your self-identity in his being. Not exalting self, not caring about self, but him. So we have to make two decisions, really, in imitating God. First, we make a decision about self. Then we make a decision about him. Then we make a decision on how to do it, walk by faith. So the first decision, make a decision about him. Secondly, to imitate Jesus Christ, we make a decision about him. And then third, we make a decision about what? Then we make a decision to walk by the Spirit. Kind of hold your place here, but look with me at John 14. We got to get back to John 14. We get through the crisis of faith. All right, John chapter 14. John chapter 14. All right, John chapter 14, verse 21. John 14, 21. Now, this is coming all in this area where Jesus Christ has told him he's leaving, and Jesus Christ has told him he's going to send a second helper, the Holy Spirit. He's leaving, and he will send him the helper. Now, verse 21 of John 14. He who has my commandments. Now, what are my commandments? Many people think they include all the Mosaic law and all the commandments. They can pile up here a little, there a little. See, that's what we have. That's the impact of Isaiah 28 again. Here a little, there a little. And so this denomination goes here a little, there a little, compiles their list. Another one here a little, there a little, they compile their list. Another group here a little, there a little, and they compile their list. And this is what they try to do. Alright, there are only two commandments, plural, commandments. So you can see it as plural or singular. Faith and love. Faith and love. Okay. And keep them. And keep them. Okay? That means what? Keep walking by faith. Do hold your place, because I'm right back here, but I want you to see a look at a word in Revelation 3. I want you to look at a word here. Revelation chapter 3. Okay. And if you will look with me, remembering the word now, and keep them. As my commandment, keep them. Verse 3. Revelation 3:3, Jesus Christ, he is speaking to the church of Sardia. So remember what you have received and heard, how you have received. Remember the Greek word. Remember how you have received and heard and keep it. Okay. Keep doing that. Keep doing how? Now turn back with me. Okay. And keep them. We do not obey all of the commandments in the Bible. We walk by faith in the Spirit. Now it continues. He it is, and keeps them, he it is who loves me. Now, many believers, for whatever reason, desire to love Jesus Christ. Many claim that they love Jesus Christ. However, John's going to make it very clear in his epistle that if you have anger, all those things we read in Ephesians 4, 28, no, you don't. But you claim you do, but you have all of that bitterness and anger and slander and all of that in your soul. All right. So many claim, but they do not. But they claim, in fact, John leaves all about those who claim they know him and they don't even know him. Okay. We have to know him, know how he loved, and that is in the power of the Holy Spirit. And he who loves me, now John passage, shall be loved by my Father. Okay? Desire to be loved by God the Father? I think everyone would desire that. I think everyone would say yes. I don't think anyone would say, no, I don't want to be loved by God the Father, any book Christian. Okay. How? Comes a great question. How are we loved by God the Father? Okay. We know we do not work for it. We know that we do not work for the love. We know that we do not earn His love. I'm so sorry that so many believers do not feel worthy of His love, and they feel they carry shame and guilt, and generally convinced by other believers, convinced by law, that they are unworthy for God's love, and that's such a shame because His love is unconditional. Now here we have to be loved. What does it mean to be loved? I thought God loved everybody. Okay, yes, He does. Yes, He does. The point here is to experience the impact of His love. See, the prodigal son. Was the prodigal son loved by his father when he was out spending all of his money? Was he loved? Yeah. Did he experience that love? No. He separated himself from it. So he was loved, but he did not experience that love. It's like very base, but the prodigal son, it's like I'll pick on the man, loved by his wife, but he's out doing other things. It may not even be sinful. He's just out doing other things. He doesn't experience that love. He doesn't put himself in the position to experience that love. He is loved, but he doesn't experience it. This has to do with that concept now, because God loves all. Okay. To experience his love. Don't go for different kinds of love. Because if I tell you there's a personal and an impersonal love and all this kind of thing, what happens there, not only is that wrong for teaching, but what happens to you is you lose, how am I not getting his personal love? How am I not getting this love? I'd rather you see not two kinds of love, because that's false. I'd rather you see the love there. Are you experiencing that love? I'd rather you see it from the eyes of the prodigal son. He is loved by his father. But we could truthfully say, go home and be loved of your father. So you came across the prodigal son in the pigsty or even before. Hey, fella, go home and be loved by your father. Okay, he is loved by his father, but he's not experiencing it. So what we're saying is, go home and experience the love of your father. And that's what we have in this passage that we have here. All right. And I will love him. Now note that it's saying, he who loves me shall be loved by my father. Now, and I, Jesus Christ, will love him. And then we have a very interesting phrase. And will disclose myself to him. I go from known to unknown. Man and a woman meet each other and they fall in love and this kind of thing. And we're going to use the physical for the spiritual here. They get married. And once they get married, she and he, they disclose themselves physically, naked. And then in their soul, they become one and they disclose things about themselves. Okay, this is what we have here. And I will disclose myself to him. Here's what they have a crucial in loving as Jesus Christ loved. And understanding how Jesus Christ loved. That when you are in this, in the filling of the Spirit, and you're walking in love, what is going to happen is Jesus Christ is going to reveal himself more and more to you. Now follow what we're doing here. Follow what we're doing. So you'll see how all of this works spiritually, not physically, spiritually. We want to imitate or be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ, okay? Now watch. The more you walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, in his love, with me so far? The more you, here's our goal, to imitate or be transformed into Christ. The more we walk in the power of the Spirit, the more he reveals. Therefore, the more he reveals, the more we imitate. The more we are transformed. Now, does the process make sense to you? If he reveals more, then we see more of what his love looks like. And the more he keeps revealing, the more we see what the Spirit is doing with us, and the more we are being transformed into his image. So, if I said, okay, if we can just take some human examples, a husband, wife, but let's take a father, son. Okay, the father is never with the son. Because the son is not going to be able to imitate his father. He's not going to be able to imitate the father because the father isn't there to ever reveal anything about himself. But the more the father reveals to the son how to do things, how he, the father, does things, what they do, how they do it, how they handle problems, how they handle circumstances, the more the son is allowed, the more the son is allowed to see, word reveal, how his father handles things, the more he is able to imitate his father. Now, does that make sense? So now what we're seeing is, the more that Jesus Christ, the more we walk in the Spirit, the more he's going to reveal, therefore walking in his love, he's going to reveal himself, and the more we see of him spiritually, the more we are able to see the Spirit leading us and imitating him, being transformed into his image. And so the father doesn't do that for what the kid learns, and this is what happens in a lot of homes, what the son learns as far as the male factor is concerned, what the son learns is this. You don't reveal yourself. My father has hidden himself, so you don't do that. A man doesn't do that, so he becomes hidden, just like his father. And so it's passed on. But if a father reveals himself, and the more he reveals himself, the more the son sees, and he may see good or bad. He may see good or bad. So what we reveal to our children, that's what they're learning about us. That's what they're going to imitate. I watched part of Duval, the great. He's a colonel. Anybody see that movie? Zantini, the great Zantini. He was a colonel. I mean, horrible father, horrible husband, horrible everything. Just horrible. Horrible in the military. And the show ended with a kid. The son, he had hit. I mean, the son was just pitiful, weird. But it ended with just like his father. I mean, exactly. Because that was what was revealed. People, we've got to learn how to handle things. As children, we basically learn it from our parents. So we imitate. We learn about love. Well, this is the way dad loved mom. This is the way he did this. This is the way they did that. This is the way mom related to her dad. This is what I'm going to do. I don't know anything else. So when you and I, in our Christian experience, we're walking in the power of the Spirit, one of the most wonderful things that happens is walking in the love. And if we walk in the love, he says, okay, I'm going to reveal myself more and more to you. And the more he reveals, the more we even imitate. I hope you can see this, because a lot of times this is missed, the importance of all of this, and how revealing is related to all of these things. And this is just true in a husband-wife relationship, this is true in parents, this is true in so many, but it's extremely importantly true in our spiritual experience. So, what does it mean he reveals as opposed to not revealing? People, you don't reveal yourself to someone who doesn't love you. You don't reveal yourself when someone doesn't love you. You pull back, or if you don't trust their love, or you think if they learn about you, they won't love you. So you hide yourself. This is human experience. People learn about you, they don't love you. So you just hide, and hide it further and further away. Okay. Now, not in the sense of being afraid, but Jesus Christ isn't going to reveal himself to someone who isn't in that position to even see what he's revealing. But when you and I are walking in this love, Jesus Christ feels very at home in revealing himself to you and all about himself to you. And therefore, you can start imitating that. So this is how all of this comes together. Have to have him reveal himself, and the more he reveals himself, then we can start imitating. And I will love him and will disclose myself to him. The Greek word emphanizo means to reveal. It means to make known. I put the Greek on the board, but it wouldn't make any difference to you. But I'll tell you what the Greek word means, and that does make a difference. To reveal, to make known, to make clear. See, people can have different images of Jesus Christ. You can have an image from the law. You can have a lot of images, an image from the church, an image from people. But, more the one that you get when you're walking in the Spirit, and therefore walking in love, he starts revealing himself to you. This is not revealing Bible doctrine. This is revealing himself to you, making himself clear. It may mean making doctrine or verses in the Bible clear about them. It may mean that, but it's starting to open up to you who and what he is. Okay, go back to my father's son. Starts opening up what he is and how he is when he handles things, when things don't go right. The son is going to start seeing now. The father's revealing how he handles things. The son starts seeing, the father's revealing how he handles problems, how he handles disaster, how he handles disappointment, how he handles when things don't go his way. He reveals himself to his son or daughter who's watching, see? And then they start imitating. And you can't even say, don't imitate that. You can't say those are words. You can't stop the natural process. The kid is learning. And he is watching. This is what you and I do with Jesus Christ. whether you like it or not, you're walking in the walking in the Spirit and start seeing His love, and He starts revealing Himself through that love, you're going to imitate it. You can't help it. The spiritual phenomenon that starts happening in your soul and in your life, you will start imitating His love. That's why this transforming process is something that starts to happen, and the love is either, you don't make a decision to do these things. It starts to happen, being transformed into His image. Now, one of the major problems that so many people have with love is making themselves known to someone else. They build walls. And why do people build walls? They're afraid that if a person knows them, finds out things about them, they will not love them. And for a lot of people, this is true. But this is not true with God and Jesus Christ. God loves you knowing all about you. He saved us knowing all about us. Yet He still loves us. And very few are familiar with that kind of love. Most people are not familiar with that kind of love that loves you regardless of who and what you are. Not in spite of, but regardless of who and what you are, He still loves. And when you walk in this love, He starts manifesting and revealing Himself. This is why I say, people, what are we doing? We're learning about love in the form of a person. You see why I turned to this verse? Imitators of Christ who also walk in this love. If you want to know about this love, you're going to learn about it through this person. And you're going to be transformed into this person. And the more you walk in love, He reveals Himself so that this can happen. We do not innately imitate Him. We do not innately love Jesus Christ. We do not innately love. This is something that happens as we walk by the power of the Holy Spirit. And this becomes a very important principle. Now, we saw the importance of this revealing, those of you that were here when we did Song of Solomon. Chapter 1, about verse 4 or 5. What did you cry out? Make yourself known to me. O you whom my soul loves, make yourself known. So she cried out that He will make Himself known. And unfortunately, most Christians, and you just got to say, how do I allow Jesus Christ to make Himself known? Most people try to make Him known through law. Most people try to make Him known through their righteousness, their morality. Others do, if I learn lots of doctrine, I will learn. If I serve Him, I will learn. How do we learn about Him? Well, we have to walk in the power of the Spirit, walk in this love, and if we walk, He says this, people. I didn't make this up. He didn't say, learn a lot of doctrine and you'll find my love. He said, you walk in this love, and those He loves, to those He's going to reveal. Because love is known in a person. Not known in doctrine as such. It's known in a person. You have a personal experience with Jesus Christ. A personal experience with God, the Father and the Spirit. And when we have it, He starts revealing Himself to us in this relationship. So the Shulamite woman pleaded with the shepherd lover, make Himself conspicuous to her. And those of you that were there recall the Hebrew word. We're back and reread some of this. The Hebrew word was a plea to reveal things about Himself, what? Unknown to her. So that she could love Him all the more. When you love someone, you want to know more about them. So the more that we walk in this love, He reveals more about, and it increases our love. It's like the force of spiritual love. It just builds that momentum. Boom, boom, boom. And the force becomes even more powerful. And what's beginning to happen inside of you, without even realizing it, we start to be transformed into the image of Christ. And somehow or another along the way, you and I got lost. Ourselves got lost in the shuffle. Who and what I am just sort of kept drifting more and more in the shadows. And more His love started transcending ourselves through what we are. And this is what we want to happen. Not glorifying ourselves, but having these things happen inside of us. Now, I will disclose or reveal myself to Him. That is, to every believer who walks in the Spirit and loves as Jesus Christ loves. Revealing what Jesus about even is the same. In fact, if we had time and it was the sun, go look at the study in Song of Solomon, because I believe that's what's happening. the same as the song as the Shulamite woman wanted. It is the revealing of self that leads to the enjoyment and being with Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, or chapter 4, excuse me. 2 Corinthians 4, 5, he says, I was compelled, controlled. First of all, the first thing that happened, controlled by this love. But he says, first, before I was controlled, compelled, what we're talking about here, first thing is, he first of all looked at it. And he saw what this love would do, that one would die for all. And he says, that kind of love so controls me now, so compels me now in everything that I do. I want to live in this kind of love. I want to live in a love that would die for all. And that's what starts to happen in our life. First, we examine this love. Is this a love we can trust? Is this a love we want to be compelled by? We look at the way a lot of people love, we don't want to. We look at the way some parents love, some husbands love, some wives love, some friends love, some people love, family. No, I don't want that. I'm not laying down anything for that kind of love. So we examine the kind of love that God has and the kind of love that Christ has, and we decide, is that the kind of love that I want to be controlled by? It's like a woman who meets a man, boy, this guy doesn't measure up to anything that I wrote that I wanted to marry in my diary when I was 14 years old. But I cannot refuse this kind of love. The way he loves is just overwhelming, and I want to be in that love. So this is what we do with Jesus Christ. Well, I'm going to have to sacrifice self, but this love is so far, so powerful, I want to do that. Okay, this leads to a lot of problems. This leads to the communication, revealing of self, and we'll start here next Tuesday evening and continue this study. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, how grateful we are that you have seen fit to manifest yourself, Heavenly Father, openly. You demonstrated your love at the cross, openly before the eyes of all. Then, Heavenly Father, you have made a decision to continue to manifest and to do your love through your Spirit, to walk in your Spirit. And, Father, we pray now that we come to know who and what you are. It is not for us to understand, Heavenly Father, all that you do, but simply to trust you. That all things will work together for good in your glory. Father, we are so compelled by this love, so controlled by a love that will do these things. We praise you in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.
Of the Beatitudes? Yeah.
Now, what is the question? How do they fit in?